Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
The WGN Radio Football Podcast.
Full responsibility. Full responsibility for that. We'll work with the offensive staff and find answers.
I don't believe you.
I don't believe you.
It's DeMarcado breaking away. DeMarcado goes the distance. Touchdown, Cardinals.
My buy-in's all in, and I know theirs is too. And we got a lot of football to play. 9 games in the regular season. And again, we're starting out. It's 4-4. And we got those games to play, and it starts with next week.
Same old, same old.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
My buy-in's all in, and I know theirs is too.
Prove it.
Here's Kevin Powell.
Welcome into a fresh episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. Been a minute, was on leave, but I'm back, and we're talking Bears. Herb Howard joins me once again. And Herb, today as we record this, just a couple hours to the trade deadline, and we'll get into the disaster at Arizona and all kinds of other things going on with the Bears right now. But Khalil Herbert dealt to Cincinnati, 7th round pick in return. Just your initial reaction to that move.
Yeah, man. First of all, KP, it's good to be back on with you, man. Hope all is well with baby and mom.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that. But, yeah, definitely interesting time, you know, for the Bears. I thought, you know, we've all seen Khalil Herbert be a very productive back at this level. For whatever reason, the Bears didn't, you know, find him useful to their offensive game plan. And some other team probably would. I mean, we've seen him lead the league in yards per carry. He's been productive every time he's had an opportunity. And so, you know, for teams that still find themselves, you know, in contention and feel like they need another running back in their stable, if you will, it made a lot of sense. And so the Bengals said, yeah, we'll send you a 7th for him. Just, if you aren't going to use him, we can.
Yeah, it's not all that surprising. We kind of were anticipating he had fallen out of the running back rotation, primarily DeAndre Swift with some Roschon Johnson mixed in as well, and Doug Kramer stealing some carries as well from Khalil Herbert. The Bears were a disaster in Arizona, Herb, and I couldn't find any good out of that one from the Bears. It was so bad on so many levels. Try to put into words what that game was to you, because to me it was just a complete failure at every level.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, that game was, you know, far more shocking and stunning and disappointing than the loss they experienced out in Washington. I mean, that was kind of a last-second shocker. Certainly, they didn't play well the entirety of the game anyway. But I think this game, you talk about just getting completely dominated from start to finish with something that I don't think anybody expected to happen. And for them to look the way they did, not only offensively, but defensively, giving up over 200 yards on the ground, that's just uncharacteristic of that defense. And I know we've seen some leaks from the run defense, some signs of this throughout the season, but for them to look that bad against the run, it's not like, you know, Kyler Murray had this super game. He didn't, right? He wasn't running around. He had 6 rushing yards or something like that. So, you know, they were just getting lined up and punched in the mouth. And I think that, you know, that tends to happen when you have a particular issue on a football team that you are unable to fix. It starts to multiply and you start to show up in other aspects of the game. It's like when you have an injury, right? You got a knee injury and you start to overcompensate for that, and then it turns into an ankle or a hip injury because you can't figure out how to solve the initial problem. I think you're starting to see some of that. This is a team that needs to play complementary football in all 3 phases, and if one of those phases is unable to be fixed, you'll start to see it affect the other phases as well.
Yeah, and I think, and even going back to last year, there have been some moments where you can clearly point to coaching as part of the failure.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't know where you were with Eberflus at the end of last year. I thought they probably could have moved on from him after last season. But there have just been some moments this. I mean, you look at the Washington game, that was a masterclass on what not to do.
Absolutely.
Late in games. You know, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, coaches should just keep that, right? That whole sequence of the end of that game and say, here's what we are not going to do. And there's been bad challenges and, you know, going back to that Doug Kramer handoff that didn't work out and just looking completely flat and unprepared. These bad losses are really stacking up for Matt Eberflus. And I said before the Arizona game, I felt like we were going to learn a lot about this Bears team, considering the loss to Washington and what went down there. And it was a disaster. There was nothing good from the Bears on Sunday at Arizona.
Yeah, I thought it was a must-win game for the Bears going into the game in Arizona. And I said as much before the game, and not obviously not mathematically like they're eliminated from contention, but must-win in the sense that if they are who they believe themselves to be, and that's a team that can compete and make a playoff run, if you think you are that type of team, then this is the game you have to win. We know what the schedule looks like in the last eight games. And so if you can't get this win, this idea that you can go on some run when you got to play the Packers twice, the Lions twice, the Vikings twice, you got to go to San Fran, like that's not real to me. And so for me, it'll either show us who you are now or I'm done believing in what you can be, you know, as we go forward. And for you to go out there and be completely dominated and only able to muster three field goals in the second quarter for the entirety of the game, give up 200 yards rushing on the ground, like that tells me all I need to know about, you know, your chances of winning these games in the second half. And so for me, that was a must win. They certainly, not only did they not win, they got completely outplayed and thoroughly dominated. So you start to look at, you know, some of the reasons for these things. You talk about some of these games that they have lost, and now you're sitting at 4-4 as a 500 team. And I think some coaching things, some minor coaching things, and you win the Colts game, you win the Washington game, and now you're talking about a different record and a different team, and you feel differently about yourself going forward. But this goes back to, you know, three or four games last year. And I asked Fluce about this, I think, last week after the Washington game. Like, there have been several games now. You're talking about four games in the past couple of years where you had 90% probability of winning the game at some point during the game, mm-hmm. and you lost it. Those are coaching things that have to be acknowledged. I personally thought that Fluce had earned his job, you know, back one more chance in terms of the way they were able to kind of, you know, navigate those tough waters last year with everything that was going on and off the field. I thought he did a really good job once he took over as defensive play caller last year. So I thought, okay, cool. I don't have a problem with them giving him another chance. Now, certainly I would have been on board if they said, no, we're moving on and we're going to hit the reset button completely. That would have been okay, too. But when you come back and you start to see some of these same things going on again, a head coach has to be able to impact the game on Sundays. And I think that Coach Fluce does a good job of, you know, building a good culture in the locker room. I think he does a good job of, you know, calling plays defensively. But there are critical decisions that must be made on Sunday. Like, never mind what you're able to do, you know, Monday through Saturday. On Sunday, you have a job to do. And I think these head coaches are worth 6 to 7 points on any given Sunday. And the Bears have lost too many of those games.
Perfectly said, Herb. And it does feel like coaching has really held this team back. And you think about all the things about this Bears team that got us excited going into this year. Number one pick, Caleb Williams, Heisman winner. DeAndre Swift, explosive running back. All the receivers, mm-hmm. DJ, Keenan, mm-hmm. Rome, Cole Kmet, who's been targeted once over the past two games. Like, how is this how is this not working, you know? Like, how does that offense look so bad? I understand the offense, which I had questions about going into the year, has been banged up and hasn't played all that well, and especially now with Darnell Wright dealing with something, too. But it's just amazing that it looks that bad. And I know they had a little stretch there. They won the three games, and two of those were against really not good teams at all, and things were clicking. But overall, this has been a choppy, ugly offense that we've seen a million times in Chicago, and it's just amazing that it's happening again, considering the amount of talent on the roster, on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I look at this team, and there have been two main problems in terms of on the field. One has been a leaky run defense, and the other has been a mostly inept offense. And for a lot of reasons, I still think they can fix the leaky run defense, but you look at this offense having added so many weapons to it. Like, there's no reason why they haven't figured out how to get this thing rolling. And for me, if I'm Coach Eberflus, right, and I understand, you know, that this thing ultimately is going to fall on me, maybe to the point of my termination, I am not going to continue to allow this offense to go that way. This team has to play complementary football, like I said earlier, and the offense isn't going to do its part to the point where I'm going to end up getting fired about it. I'm certainly going to make a decision before Ryan Poles makes a decision. I'm going to decide that we got to do better in terms of play calling. We got to do better in terms of game planning. And if we got to change the OC, then that's just what we have to do. I'm not going to sit and watch my ship sink because I don't want to make this change that needs to be made. Is it a tough decision? Sure. And maybe he's not making it because I don't want to make a change for the sake of making a change. Do I have a better option? Like, what are my better options if I make a change in offensive coordinator midseason with a rookie quarterback? I get that. And so he has to factor in all of those things as well. But something has to be done when you look at how ineffective this offense has been for the majority of this season when you brought in so many weapons and you drafted this quarterback who was the greatest prospect in the past 10 years. You've got to get something done, and it's just not working. If I'm a guy whose my job is starting to be called into question, and rightfully so, then I got to make a decision about, you know, what we do going forward.
Yeah, and I hope there were some tough, maybe even uncomfortable conversations at Hallis Hall behind closed doors this week. And I know Eberflus talked about his conversation with Ryan Poles. Kevin Warren, get involved. Like, there needs to be a different set of urgency here. Because things need to be fixed fast, and they have a very winnable game coming up here. They're big favorites over New England, not a good team at home. They've got to win Sunday, obviously, and then the gauntlet back half of the schedule, which we've been talking about leading into the season and over the past few weeks. But let's talk about Caleb, who, in my opinion, had no reason to be out there. It's another coaching thing, late in the game, getting banged up, running for his life. Your offensive line's all banged up, and they're still sending him out there when the game's out of reach. But what's your observations of Caleb so far?
Yeah, I think inconsistent, right? But I think you expect that with a rookie quarterback. And I think, you know, you try to do everything you can to kind of expedite the learning process, one, but also kind of mitigate the risk and not put him in harm's way so much. I think leaving him out there was certainly a mistake. There was nothing to be gained by that. But whoever the quarterback was, it should have been straight handoffs. Let's get out of here, right? Mm-hmm. But in terms of my evaluation of him, I think we got to start having a conversation about how inaccurate he has been with the football at times. Now, certainly we've seen him make some amazing throws where he's been extremely accurate and couldn't walk the ball down the field in places any better. But there's been lots of throws where we've seen him be wildly inaccurate, not giving his receiver an opportunity, throwing it out of the back of the end zone, throwing it out to the sideline, just not giving his receiver any chance to come down with the football. And you know, at least twice this year, I've heard him say in a post-game press conference, you know, I miss throws that I don't normally miss. And I'm looking like, well, what do you mean you don't know? You don't have a large enough sample size to say what you normally do or don't normally do, right? We can't go. We can talk about your college tape if you want, but that doesn't transfer over here. That's not the same thing. You don't get to take your high school GPA in the college and say, well, I normally get A's. Like, I nobody talk. You don't have a large enough resume at this level to say what you normally do or don't do. These are not the same, you know, windows in terms of who's being open. These are not the same level of competition in terms of who's covering your wide receivers. And so this idea that I don't normally miss these throws, I don't know. We're still trying to see what you normally do, sir. But again, that's some of the things you can kind of expect with a rookie. I do think he's done a really good job in terms of, you know, getting this offense down. I was very, very impressed by the way the Bears opened the game and giving him complete control at the line of scrimmage and being in that hurry-up offense, or a no-huddle offense on that first drive. And I thought he was doing a really good job until they got some penalties and some sacks, and then ultimately, you know, that drive was destroyed. But I thought, you know, seeing his command the line of scrimmage, I thought all of those things were good. You can tell that the kid really works hard at knowing, you know, what he's supposed to be doing out there. But I think it's time that we really start having a conversation about some of the inaccuracies that we see, at least in terms of consistency.
Yeah, totally agree. There have been some throws, Herb, where I'm thinking to myself, was he trying to throw that away? Because they're not even close. I'm like, is that just a bad throw, or is he like, what's he doing there? So I agree. Some of these throws we've seen through the year, they just look off, you know, like wildly off at times. But I will say, I mean, this is still super confident, Caleb. I still think he's the guy, and even going back to that Washington game, for as bad as they were offensively, it just kind of and this is, you know, the great quarterbacks, right? We saw Mahomes do it again last night. Like, I'm not putting him at that level. I'm just using as an example. Like, the great.
Oh, yes, you are. Everybody did. Yes, you are, KP. You put him up there on Mount Rushmore with Brady and Mahomes. That's who we drafted. No, I'm kidding with you, man.
Yeah. No, my point is that the good ones always get it done late, you know, and they find a way. And in that Washington game, and they're hanging around, and the Commanders aren't putting the Bears away, I'm thinking, I'm like, I have a different kind of confidence with Caleb that he's going to find a way late here to get it done. And Swift gets the touchdown, and then Caleb, they got, you know, before the Kramer fumble, like, that, he got them in position to score, and then he did it again. So I have a lot of confidence in Caleb, and clearly there needs to be work around him, and he has work to do as well. But, you know, we're only halfway through this guy's rookie season. I know there's been a lot of talk about the failure to develop young quarterbacks in the NFL, and we've seen that across the league. So this is not some, you know, writing him off after a year or declaring him the franchise savior after a year. Like, they've got to go all in here and really work on developing Caleb and building him into the franchise quarterback we think he can be. So as frustrating and as ugly as the offense has looked at times, I still have a ton of confidence that Caleb Williams is the long-term solution for the Bears at quarterback.
Oh, I agree with you. I think that we've seen, you know, all the physical tools that he has, his ability, you know, to stand tall, and well, he's not tall, but to stand firm in the pocket, not panic when it collapses around him. Also, his ability to get out on the edge and make throws on the move. We've seen the arm talent. We know that he works at it. We know that he wants to be great. All the things that you would want from your franchise quarterback, we've seen him display that. And it's just about consistency, and that comes over time. But also, it's about, you know, putting everything around him in place that allows him to reach his high ceiling. And a lot of that is coaching, a lot of that is the scheme and the play calling and all those different things. But it's also, you know, just his ability to take advantage of things when they are there. I've been saying this all year, like, you can't miss things at this level, right? You don't get that many opportunities at big plays, and you never know when they're going to come. It could be first quarter, it could be third quarter, it could be whenever. You got to be able to make those throws. Otherwise, it adds up on you, and then you do find yourself in these close games late, or you find yourself wanting a few throws back at the end of these games. You're not going to get them back. So when you got a guy that's streaking open down the sideline or open across the middle or open in the back of the end zone, you got to be able to hit those throws because they don't present themselves that often at this level. And I think he will get that done. I haven't lost any confidence in Caleb Williams and who he can be. It's more about everything that's happening around him, and will that allow him to elevate this franchise to the heights that they hope to get?
Bears were 3-for-14 on third down at Arizona. They had a total of 70 plays offensively for a total of 241 yards, 3.4 yards per play. Yeah. Arizona had 6.1 yards per play. We've seen miserable, ugly, horrible offensive play from the Chicago Bears over the years, Herb. It's just amazing how they continue to stack these horrendous performances together. It's just like a nightmare for Bears fans at times, you know?
No, it's a movie. It's a horror movie that's running on a loop. You can't quite get away from it, even though you think, okay, here we go. Right. We brought in all of these weapons, all those guys that you listed earlier, and we got Caleb Williams. We got this generational talent at quarterback. It's all going to come together now. Our defense is good, and for whatever reason, it still just does not come together. And it becomes this frustrating thing where it's like, you know, nobody thought this season would be over in the first weekend of November. Nobody thought that. We all thought, you know, to varying degrees, they would be somewhere in the conversation of playoff by the end of the season. Talking week 17, week 18, they would still be in that conversation. And now here we are, first week of November, and if you ask me, I think it's done. Right? I think it's done right now. Can you hold out hope? Oh, you know, they outplayed the Detroit Lions twice last year. They absolutely did. Maybe they'll do it again, right? I don't believe they're going to have to beat the Packers for me to ever say they'll beat them again. They played, you know, Minnesota tough a couple of times. Like, so maybe, right? Maybe, right? The 49ers aren't who they hope they would be. They aren't healthy, so maybe they can go out there, right? You can hold out these hopes. But when you just look at what they've done over the first eight games, nothing about that leads me to believe that they can go on that type of run. And so, you know, for me, there are far more concerns or questions than there are answers going forward. And it's just disappointing to feel that way this early in such a promising season.
What if, and I don't want it to happen, but what if the Bears do lose to the 2-7 Patriots on Sunday at home? What do you think Poles and Warren and because there's talk, of course, and, you know, Bears fans, Bears seasons are just complete roller coasters, and I know a lot of fans would like to see Flus gone and Waldron gone and all of that, and we that's just really not how the Bears operate, firing coaches mid-season. But that would be, I mean, if Sunday, if they lose at home against New England, then it's full-blown panic at Halas Hall.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, I don't see them making a move like that. I don't see them, you know, firing Flus in the middle of the season. But I do think there'll probably be a closed-door conversation with Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles to just say, all right, well, this one's done, right? So how do we go forward and thinking long-term? They start to think about, okay, what does the offseason look like? What are some of the head coaching candidates that we want? do we perhaps do something the Bears have never done and fire the head coach in the middle of the season and maybe give a guy like special teams coordinator Richard Hightower a chance to see? I think he's equipped in terms of the only person who can manage the entirety of their roster. The special teams coordinator is the only person who really knows, you know, personnel on offense and defense just by the nature of their position. So maybe you do something like that, but I don't really see that happening. I think they'll just kind of let it play out and start to figure out, okay, well, now where is our draft positioning going to be? What head coaches are going to be available? How quickly can we get Ben Johnson to Hallis Hall, right, the offensive coordinator from the Detroit Lions? Mm-hmm. Like, these are the conversations that they will have, you know, privately, and then publicly they'll just come out and continue to support Coach Flus and the staff and, you know, say we got to, you know, just – keep trying and move on to next week. And I think privately they'll know that this thing is done and they'll start to think about solutions going forward. But I think, you know, if they don't come out and play well even in the first half, right, say they're losing at the half, or, you know, the offense hasn't been able to move the ball at the half, the boo bars that are going to rain down from Soldier Field mm-hmm. is going to be deafening. And, I don't know, right? I felt the same way going into, I think, was it week four last week when they played the Broncos? And, you know, they came out and they played well. They were up 20, and then they gave it back. And so, you know, I think this is that type of game. Like, they come home and lose to the team like the Patriots, then, you know, of course, everybody's going to be calling for a job. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think the conversations about, you know, what comes next will certainly be taking place behind closed doors.
Always great stuff from Herb Howard from the Bigs. Follow him on Twitter at HerbHoward411 and follow the Bigs at It's the Bigs. Great sports coverage here in Chicago. Herb, it's great being back, talking Bears with you. I appreciate you jumping on.
Always a pleasure, KP. Thanks for having me.
And that is Herb Howard, frequent guest here on the WGN Radio Football Podcast. Good to be back. Thanks to Ernie Scatton for his help producing the podcast. Thank you for listening. This is episode 92 of the WGN Radio Football Podcast.